You're listening to Nancy and the Hermit. Come closer to the fire and gaze into the burning embers and lend your ear to their stories of ghost and murder and mayhem. Hello, MPIR listener. This is Clyde J. Gale. I have an important challenge for you. I need to ask you for help. Are you up to the challenge? Please, if you can help. We have millions of listeners across the internet, and only a handful have sent in donations. Please, a $5, $20, $50 donation or more. Thank you for your past support. Please visit www.mpir-otr.com and click on the donations page to send in a donation via PayPal. Your help will be greatly appreciated. Thank you for your past support, and thank you for listening to MPIR.
The Witch's Tale. Fascination of the eerie. Weird, blood-chilling tales told by old Nancy, the Witch of Salem, and Satan, her wise black cat. They are waiting, waiting for you. Now.
I be today. Yes, sir. 117-year-old. Well, Satan, let's get down to our yarn spinning. Come on, now douse out them lights so we'll have it nice and dark. And draw up to the fire so that you can gaze into the embers. You'll need a fire to warm your blood as you listen to this pretty tale. You gaze into the embers deep, and soon you'll see a big railway depot in the town of London, England. You hear them funny little engines the English people got? Soon you'll see a funny little coach like the ones they pulls behind them, and soon you'll hear our yarn about the puzzle. The puzzle!
Everything stowed away, sir, and the guard has assured me, Mr. Holmes, that you'll have the compartment to yourself, sir, all the way to theory.
Oh, that's just bully. This chauffeur of yours is a born fixer, Cecil.
Yes.
You know, since I first came to England, I've learned to appreciate the privacy of your railway compartment system.
And today, I take it, you're especially appreciative. The chap who's on his way to meet the parents of his prospective bride for the first time will want privacy for the examination of his conscience.
Our Julia hasn't much respect for her stepmother's opinion. I really have only my future father-in-law to worry about. You know, it's funny you haven't heard of him. I'm told he's one of the most successful attorneys in London.
Well, his name's vaguely familiar. Omeroy. Omeroy?
Yeah, Theodore Omeroy. Firm of Omeroy and Hardy.
Now, is he any other claim to fame?
Well, Julia tells me he's a puzzle expert.
Puzzle expert?
Yeah, you know, puzzles are his hobby.
Oh, you mean he solves those crossword thingy-bobs and plays with those wire and steel, what do you call them, huh?
Yeah, that's it.
My word.
Well, let's be walking towards the train, sir.
Very well. Lead the way, Colin.
Yes, sir.
I'm dash sorry you won't stand for the next train, Willis. We've only had these few minutes together since you arrived from Dover.
Oh, I can't stay over. It was awfully good of you to meet me here for this brief get-together.
Oh, I had to hear more of the wonderful girl you've been writing me about. You met her in France.
Yeah.
Oh, deucedly romantic. You from USA and she from England go to France to find each other.
Well, the poet says, two shall be born a whole wide world apart.
Oh, the man is in love. He's even quoting poetry.
Yeah, I guess I have got it pretty badly.
Well, here's a train. nearly ready to start.
I'm very anxious to rejoin her.
Why did she leave Paris just ahead of you?
Our stupid conventions. Julia chaperone couldn't get away, and she maintained it wasn't proper for engaged people to travel unaccompanied.
Oh, I say.
I'm sorry I didn't tell the old dodo to go jump in the Seine with the Victorian notions. Julia shouldn't have made that trip alone. She was too badly upset.
Oh, upset?
Well, you see, she was called home by a telegram from her stepmother. It was one of those vaguely worded, "Your presence is required immediately" messages. Makes you imagine all sorts of calamities. Well, Julia decided something had happened to her father. She's very devoted to him. Well, to ease her mind, I called her home by long distance and was told there was no illness there or accident or death. They just wouldn't explain the reason for her summons, though. Well, that only made it more urgent. So when I put her on the train, she was still greatly worried.
Sounds rather mysterious.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, but whatever the trouble is, it can be very serious. Illness, death, and accident have been definitely ruled out.
All aboard!
That means me. Which is my compartment, Collins?
Right here, sir. Number 3. This is my gentleman guard, which you promised to take care of.
Oh, yes. Sit right in, sir. You'll be alone in the compartment all the way, sir. I've arranged for that.
Oh, that's fine, guard. Here, thanks very much.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Well, now, in perfect solitude, you can prepare yourself to meet your future father-in-law. Too bad you haven't made a study of puzzles, Willis. Then it accepts you as a kindred soul. Yeah.
I suppose I'll have to give that subject a lot of serious thought.
Yes. Well, toodaloo, old thing.
So long, Cecil. Goodbye, Colin.
Bye, Mr. Collins.
Best of luck, Willis.
Thanks. I may need it.
Well, I'm off.
Young chap, your friend.
What? Oh, I beg your pardon. But where... You weren't in this compartment a moment ago. How did you...
A puzzle, isn't it? You really must give serious thought to the subject of puzzles, Mr. Holmes.
You know my name?
Very well. Now, permit me to tell you mine. I am Theodore Omeroy.
You're Julia's father?
Yes.
Oh, of course. Now I recognize you from the photographs. Oh, this is a pleasure, sir.
Excuse me if I don't shake hands. I've recently met with a serious injury.
An injury?
A rather painful one. Although, as you see, I wear no bandages.
Was it merely your hand that was injured, sir? You were very pale, as though you had experienced a serious illness. You have been ill. Oh, that's the reason Mrs. Omeroyd sent that telegram to Julia.
It was because of me that telegram was sent. But let's not talk about that now, if you don't mind. I prefer a more pleasant subject. I'm very glad to know you, my boy.
And I to know you, sir. But how did you know me?
Well, that's an easy puzzle to solve. According to my daughter's letters, there can be but one Willis Holmes.
Well, I hope I can convince you of that, sir. But the guard said I was to be alone in this compartment. And when he closed the door, I was alone. How on earth did you...
I came aboard from the other side.
The other side?
Yes. You see how simple puzzles are when one is told the answers. My gracious. Here I've been talking of puzzles for a solid hour. I hope you'll forgive me. You see, to me, all life is an endless succession of intricate problems which the successful man must solve for himself and which the good man, the man who loves, must solve for others. I wanted you to know my philosophy. And now, I won't bore you any longer.
Oh, you haven't bored me at all, sir. I've been intensely interested.
Ticket, please, sir.
Oh, good Lord, conductor, not again.
Sorry to bother you, but it's rules, sir. All right, sir, and thank you.
Well, one puzzle I'd wish you'd solve for me, Mr. Omeroyd, is why that conductor never asks to see your ticket. He's looked at mine 4 times.
I ride free, my boy.
Are you a stockholder of this road?
No. I'm well acquainted with the chairman of its governing board, though. Mr. Travers. My firm handles his legal business. The last time I rode this train, I carried £50,000 of his money. In currency.
In currency?
£1,000 notes.
That's rather dangerous, isn't it? Men have been murdered for a great deal less.
It is a dangerous business. But when one is accustomed to handling large sums, one grows careless. We're pulling into Whittam. I leave you here, my boy.
Oh, aren't you going home to Fearing, Mr. Ormeroyd?
Not now. First, I must return to Whittam. That's where Mr. Trezor has his residence. You won't see me again until tomorrow. In the meantime, will you give a little serious thought to the subject of puzzles?
I certainly shall, Mr. Ormeroyd. But I'd value your expert opinion as to where and how I'd best begin.
Circumstances will indicate your course of thought.
Whittam! Whittam! All right for Whittam!
Oh, it's been wonderful Whittam. Meeting you like this. I was a little worried at the prospect of formally asking you to accept me as your son-in-law.
I accept you gladly. You'll look after Julia, won't you?
I love your daughter very dearly, sir.
And you will remember that he who loves must solve life's problems for others. I must leave you until tomorrow. Again, excuse my hand. The injury I mentioned. Dear me, where's my cigarette case?
Cigarette case? I haven't seen you use one, sir.
I'm sure I had it with me. I must have dropped it here.
Oh, I'll look for it. And
just take care of it if you find it. You and Julia, take good care of it.
Oh, I found it already. It's fallen behind these cushions. Oh, Mr. Ormeroyd? Oh, we're guard. Guard!
Hi, sir. Here, sir.
Which way did the gentleman go who was with me in this compartment?
A gentleman with you? This compartment, sir?
Of course. He just stepped out. He was standing right beside the door. You must have seen him.
This door's been closed, sir, until you opened it yourself just now. You've been alone in this compartment all the way from London.
The gentleman we've been expecting has arrived, Mrs. Ormeroyd. Mr. Willis Holmes.
Show him in, Barker, and then inform Miss Julia that he's here.
Well, I'll fetch Julia, if you wish, Mrs. Ormeroyd.
Well, perhaps you'd better, Mr. Toms.
You're going to let Julia tell the young man our bad news?
Naturally. He's her affianced husband at present.
You think he'll break the engagement when he learns?
Well, then what would you do if you were in his place, Mr. Hardy?
Mr. Willis Holmes.
Oh, well, come in, Mr. Holmes. Julia will be here directly. I am Mrs. Ormeroyd.
Oh, this is a great pleasure, Mrs. Ormeroyd. Julia has told me so many things about you, I feel I already know you.
I'll wager she never told you many nice things about me.
Agatha, control yourself. Really,
allow me to present these gentlemen. Mr. Hardy, Mr. Holmes.
How do you do, young man?
Mr. Hardy, you're Mr. Ormeroyd's partner, I imagine.
I'm a junior member of Ormeroyd and Hardy.
And this is Mr. Justice Rowley, Mr. Holmes.
How do you do, Justice Rowley?
Justice is a difficult title, isn't it? In America, I believe you would call me judge, although I'm merely a provincial justice of the peace.
Julia will be down directly, Mrs. Ormeroyd. Excuse me.
Oh, this is Mr. Toms, Mr. Holmes.
How do you do?
Pleasure, old chap. Charms and all that, you know.
Mr. Toms is my husband's personal secretary. Won't you all sit down?
Oh, thank you.
Mr. Holmes looks rather uncomfortable. I don't imagine he expected to encounter such a large gathering.
Oh, of course he's uncomfortable, poor chap. Comes to pay a visit to Miss Ormeroyd's family and finds the house party in full swing about the place.
House party?
Agatha, you must control yourself. I don't understand.
Well, there's nothing you need to understand, old man. Not now. I'm told you're an American. How do you like England?
I have learned to like it very much, Mr. Toms, with some exceptions.
Oh, what are they?
Well, one is the type of guard employed on your railway train.
You don't approve of our railway guards.
Well, I've just had a very ridiculous experience with one. A chap either afflicted with blindness or a very faulty sense of humor. It's a rather silly story, but if you care to hear it,
Willis!
Julia!
Oh, Willis, I'm so glad you're here. So glad.
Darling, what's the matter?
Julia, control yourself.
Things are already bad enough, Julia. If you wish to tell him now of our disgrace, at least wait until I can leave the room.
Disgrace? What do you mean? Julia, dear, I talked to your father on the train an hour ago, and he didn't mention any trouble here.
What did you say?
You talked to my father?
Yes, we traveled from London together as far as Whittam.
I don't believe it. He wouldn't have dared.
Quiet. Willis, you're sure it was my father?
Of course I am. Why, he...
Did he say where he was going when he left you? Did he say when he'd be home?
Yes. He was on his way to a place called Whittam. He said he'd be home tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Oh, thank God. I knew everything would come out all right. That father would come back and explain.
Mr. Holmes was mistaken in the man he talked to.
Yes, Ormeroyd couldn't have traveled on that train as far as Whittam.
The police would have arrested him before he got aboard.
Police?
Yes, and if the bobbies missed him, every guard and conductor on that road has his description.
Well, I haven't the faintest idea what any of you are talking about. Though I'd never met him before, I've seen his photographs. And I was neither mistaken nor the dupe of an impostor.
What did he say to you, Willis, besides the other things you've told us?
Well, he talked mostly about puzzles.
It was, Father. He's coming home to explain everything.
Won't someone please explain to me what all this is about?
Perhaps that's my painful duty, Mr. Holmes. Through powerful influence, we've thus far kept the story from the newspapers. But 2 weeks ago, Theodore Ormeroy disappeared with £50,000 belonging to a client of our firm, a Mr. Travis of Whittam.
No indication has been found that Mr. Ormeroy met with accident or foul play. The inference is obvious.
And he left me, his wife, to face the scandal.
Travis is the man he was on his way to see today.
You have been imposed upon.
No, it was Father. I know he talked with Father.
So do I. And I hardly think, Justice Rowley, that a practical joker would have possessed this cigarette case with Mr. Ormeroyd's monogram upon it.
Father!
It's
Ormeroyd's.
Where did you get that silver case?
From the compartment where he left it, as he alighted from the train.
Everything will be explained. He said he'd be home tomorrow. Willis?
Yes.
Maybe that's him now. Maybe it
don't be ridiculous. Your father wouldn't ring his own doorbell.
If he comes here, the police will bring him as a prisoner.
Come in.
A police officer is here to see you, Mrs. Ormeroyd.
Oh, they've arrested him.
If they have, dear, they'll soon let him go.
Show the officer in.
Yes, ma'am.
I asked to come in on you like this, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Justice Rowley.
What is it, ma'am? Speak up.
It's bad news, sir. The constables at Whittam have found Mr. Ormeroyd, sir.
They've arrested him?
No, ma'am. They found him dead.
What? Dead?
Yes, ma'am. The doctors say he's been dead 2 weeks.
Dead 2 weeks?
Yes, sir. They'll bring his body home first thing tomorrow.
His body home tomorrow? Merciful God! What was it that rode with me in that compartment?
My dear Holmes, it's been established conclusively that my partner was lying dead in that pit where they found him, the very time you insist he was with you on that train.
Nevertheless, he, or his spirit, was with me, as I said. Oh, I know it sounds mad, impossible. I've always laughed at the tales of the supernatural, just as you're laughing at me now. But I saw Mr. Ormeroyd. He talked with me an hour, I tell you. Julia, you at least believe me.
I don't know. It's all so horrible.
It's too fantastic for anyone to believe.
And even if you did see a ghost, Holmes, what purpose did the thing accomplish?
Sure, none, I guess. Still, I feel it had a purpose in coming to me. One I can't grasp.
Seems to me the traditional storybook phantom would have been of more practical service, Mr. Holmes. They always accuse their murderer.
And such an accusation seems the only means by which the killer can ever be brought to justice. We know now that poor Ormeroyd was struck down for that large sum of money he carried. But other than that obvious conclusion, we of the law haven't found a single clue.
The ghost should have known his murder had left no trail. But instead of dropping a helpful hint, Mr. Holmes says his spectre merely talked of puzzles.
That would have been my father's way.
Julia, you're not going to become a champion of this young man's mad delusion.
If your father's spirit could return to Earth, he'd appear to you or to me, rather than to your fiancée whom he never met in life. Father always said, the man who loved solved the problems of others.
That's what he said to me.
Oh, this is asinine.
You've had a dream, my boy. Better forget it.
No, for it wasn't a dream. It was real. And it had a purpose. Only I'm too blind to see it. I didn't dream this silver cigarette case. Isn't that tangible proof?
I'm afraid that now I must shatter your illusions. I was advised today that the coach in which you traveled from London, by a strange coincidence, was the one in which 2 weeks before Mr. Ormeroy took his fatal journey to Witham. Lying in idleness, the car had not been cleaned carefully. So you found that case where the unfortunate man had mislaid it.
Then he returned to put it in my hands. That was his purpose. I see it now. Somehow in this cigarette case is the solution of the puzzle.
Willis!
Since you regard the case in that light, perhaps you'd better give it into my keeping as a possible clue for the police.
No, I give it to no one. For now I know a guilty conscience has been keener than my wits.
A guilty conscience? Are you accusing?
I accuse no one yet.
Oh, what do you mean?
I mean that now everyone in this room, at different times with a different excuse, has asked me for this case.
Mr.
door, Julia. We can then talk in private.
Willis, what did you mean by the insinuation you made a moment ago?
Exactly what I said. That perhaps a guilty conscience has been keener than my wits. The killer of your father wants this cigarette case because he has some reason to be afraid of it. Your father's partner, Hardy, came to me 2 days ago and requested it as a keepsake. The day before that, Tom's made the same request. Yesterday, your stepmother asked for it, and now Rowley would like to have it. Fortunately, some instinct made me refuse to give it up, even before I guessed it was the solution of my ghastly puzzle.
Oh, but your suspicions are terrible. In spite of the frightful way they've acted, those people were my father's friends.
Your father was killed for a sum of money that only his friends or his confidants knew he carried on his person. If I can only solve the puzzle of the cigarette case, I'll learn which one is guilty. His last words to me were, take care of it. You and Julia, take good care of it.
Your theory must be right. With Father, everything was the foundation of a puzzle. You think there may be a secret compartment in the case?
Yes, in which something is hidden. The metal is unnaturally thick on the sides and heavily embossed. There may be a shallow cavity between.
Look for a spring or lever hidden in that scroll work.
Here I am.
Feel around the edges. Maybe something slides.
That's it. That's it. A sliding edge. Look, I found it. Look.
The metal slides are hollow.
And there's a folded paper in the recess.
What's written on it?
It's dated June 12th. The day your father went to Whittam with that £50,000. It says, on the understanding that if I have not left England by tomorrow noon, Theodore Omeroyd, to whom I give this writing, will make its contents public. I hereby confess...
Confess? To what?
Oh, that can wait. Let me see whose name is signed here.
The light!
Who turned out those lights?
Someone's with us in this room.
Let me go! Let me go! No, you won't get this paper!
Help! Help! Someone's killed Willis! They're running out of the door! They're getting away! Help! 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 Going to be all right?
Of course he's coming to now.
Nothing wrong but a bump on the head.
What happened in this room before you screamed, Julia?
Yes, for heaven's sake, what happened?
One of you know what happened as well as I do. For one of you came in that door while our backs were turned. One of you turned out these lights. One of you struck Willis, then seized the paper we'd found and ran. And the one of you who did it is the one who killed my father.
The girl's insane.
Mad.
How dare you accuse one of us?
Your father's friend.
Because one of you is guilty.
Oh, nonsense.
Julia.
Oh, Willis, darling, are you all right now?
Yes. Whoever hit me got away with the paper before we saw the name upon
it. Yes, they got away.
I failed your father.
Where you failed, I may succeed. If my father came to you, perhaps he'll come again to me. What are you doing, Julia? I have locked the one door leading from this room.
Why?
What is it?
She turned off the lights.
Stop that!
Turn on those lights.
Oh, I say, you're going too far.
No. Only one of you need fear the dark and this locked room. But if my prayer is answered, that one must face the man he killed. Oh, Lord, I pray thee, send my father from the dead to bring justice.
Open the door. Turn on these lights.
Are you afraid?
No, no, I didn't kill him.
Father, Father, come to me from the grave.
This nonsense has gone far enough.
Are you afraid?
I have no cause to be afraid.
Lord, send my father here to bring justice.
Oh, I'm not going to be made a fool of by a sick-brained girl. Think what you like. I'm going to leave this room.
Yes, yes, we'll all leave.
Open that door. Come on, quickly.
Stay
where you are.
That voice, Mr. Omeroy.
Theodore.
Good heavens.
Father, Father, God has let you answer.
Some puzzles are too difficult for men to solve alone.
Let me out of this room.
Oh, don't be afraid. That's not Omeroy's voice. You see, Holmes and the girl are playing a trick upon us in the darkness.
No. Something awful here.
A hazy light is growing in this room.
Omeroyd's face is taking shape there.
Keep him away! Keep him away!
You help us with our puzzle, Rowley.
I'll do anything you say, only don't come near me with your cold, dead hands. Keep away! I'll tell them. I'll confess. But keep away.
Rowley!
Rowley.
I killed him.
Tell them why.
He learned I'd taken bribes. He made me sign a confession that would send me to prison if I stayed in England. I waited for him on the road to Gravis House. I didn't know about the money he had with him. All I wanted was the paper that I didn't find. The paper in that cigarette case that I never found until tonight. Here it is. Use it to send me to the gallows. But don't come near me with your cold, dead hands. Don't come near me with your cold, dead hands.
I have the paper. His confession.
You and Toms hold on to him. I'll phone for the police.
Oh, I won't try to get away. There's no escape from the dead. The dead.
Father! Father! Willis! His form is fading.
Goodbye, Julia. My task is over. We will not meet here again.
Father!
Julia, dear.
Take care of her, my boy. And remember, he who loves must solve the puzzles of life for others.
Well, that's the end of that scene. You folks come see us next time I had a birthday.
Carter Coal Company and the dealers of Alder Coal present The Mummers in the Little Theater of the Air. To look at the advertising of retail stores today and see for sale such long scarce items as thermostats and coal stokers. It's especially good if you've been able to get a supply of that good Alder coal, because in a good hand-fired furnace, it responds especially well to the regulation of the thermostat. And burned in a coal stoker, you get all the benefits and advantages of Alder coal plus automatic heat. Now is the time to start getting ready for cold weather. Try to get some of this new equipment. Call your friend, the Alga dealer, about the coming winter's coal supply. Ask for this good coal by name, spelled O-L-G-A. Ask again if he's out of it, because there's no fuel quite like coal, and no coal quite like Alga. Now, the hermit.
Murders, too. The hermit knows of them all. Turn out your lights. Turn them out. Ah. Have you heard the story, Phoebus? Then listen while the hermit tells you the story.
Not much, Paul.
What'd he say?
That you've got some kind of ailment that's going around.
Going around, eh? Contagious?
Well, I reckon. Now, it's nothing to get excited about.
Nothing to get excited about? You can talk. It's me that's got it. Burning up with fever one minute and freezing the next. I'm getting along. I can't stand to have no illness like this.
Getting all lathered up ain't going to help you, huh?
What did the doc say to do?
To take these pills you left and stay in bed till the fever breaks.
Where are the pills?
Right here in my hand.
Well, give them to me.
Can you take them without water?
Sure. No time to waste going downstairs for water.
Now lay back and see if you can sleep.
Sleep? I can't sleep.
Well, you can try, I reckon.
Can't nothing happen to me, you hear? Just can't nothing happen. All these years of drudging, slaving for the farm to make it pay. All the years of saving. I can't die. I can't die and leave it. You, I want the strong box.
Yes.
Right away, I want it.
Stay covered up, I'll get it.
I ain't going to die. I can't die. Not and leave it all. Ain't nobody work for it but me. It's mine. All mine. The farm, the money, all mine. And I ain't going to leave it. Theo! Theo!
Oh, I'm coming as fast as I can.
My keys are on the chain in my pants pocket.
Here you are. You ought to stay covered up.
Oh, quit nagging, Theo. Just like your ma was, always nagging. What's that? Someone came in below stairs.
Elton, I suspect. Probably heard you with Aaron.
Granny can keep him out of here. I don't want that worthless son of mine in this room.
Don't worry, Pa. Soon as Elton finds out you got something catching, he'll be a mile away from this room.
Well, you can tell him this for me. I ain't gonna die. He don't need to push like a vulture below stairs waiting for the end. There ain't gonna be none. You can go now, Theo. Ain't no use in you staring at this money. It's mine. And I'm going to hang on to it for a long time to come.
I wasn't even looking at it.
Get going at your work in the house. When I call next time, don't take so long to come upstairs.
I reckoned it was you, Elton.
Yeah? What's wrong with Pa?
Who told you he was sick?
I saw Doc Watford on the street in town.
Didn't he tell you?
Well, if he had, I wouldn't be asking. Just said he was took down and that he'd been out here to see him.
Well, he's got something that's contagious. They don't know for sure what it is yet, but a lot of folks over in White Bluffs have died of it.
Yeah? You don't say.
Captain Dominic, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Ah, cut it. Don't play the sweet sister pious act with me. You know you wish he'd hit the dirt just as much as me.
Ain't true.
Has he got it bad?
Doc says he ain't too good. He's got a weak heart, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you reckon I ought to go up and sit with him, or something?
Ain't you afraid, Elton?
Yeah, that's right. I never thought. What's he doing up there to keep himself busy?
You might know. He's counting his money.
He's got the strong box out here. Theo, how much do you reckon he's got in that box?
I wouldn't be for knowing. Once I heard him say something about $10,000.
Oh. Well, it ain't gonna be bad. Big farm like this, well stocked, building shipshape, finest in farm implements, and $10,000. Maybe more. No, sir, it ain't gonna be too bad. Don't you give him too good care, Theo?
You stop such talk.
I'll be getting back to town. Wouldn't do for two of us to come down with something fatal. Things get worse, you can call me at Sam's place, huh? Most likely be there playing cards.
Sure you will.
But, don't call me unless things are worse now, you understand?
I understand, all right.
I'll just leave my dear sister to carry on. Oh, which reminds me. Pa never made any will, did he?
Not that I know of. He never expects to die.
Well, don't go putting any ideas in his noggin, little angel. Because if there's any dirty work at the crossroads, I might not be too kind about finding a place for my sweet, pious sister to live once this place is mine. Well, bye now. Take care, but not too good care. Catch on?
I ever done. Fetching and caring for Pa and Elton since Ma died. Since I was 10, No time to play. No time to dream. Just work. And listening to Pa growl about expense. And Elton being shiftless. And all the time hoarding more money and counting it over. Money. I don't want money. Except for a pretty dress. I want a time to dream. To walk these moors when the moon is calling. Or when the wind sings like the sea. To climb those blue hills yonder. And maybe twine some wild roses in my hair. I ain't got nothing but wishes for beauty. And there ain't no beauty here. There ain't none at all.
Bed. Get Doc and come quick. He's yelling and calling for Doc and he don't answer to his office. Get him quick and come.
You've got to find him. You've got to find Doc.
Elton, this word, Pa. He's coming as soon as he can.
Where's Elton?
Standing outside the door here in the hall. Ain't no use for him to come in and catch the fever.
Unless you want me, Pa.
No, I don't want you. Further away, the better. I don't believe he went for Doc.
Yes, Pa, he did.
I don't believe it. He wants me to die. He wants what I got, but he won't get it. Oh, nobody is. No, he can't take my rifle money from me.
Lie back, Pa.
I ain't gonna die, Theo. I ain't gonna die.
Of course you ain't.
I ain't gonna gasp like your ma did and then go out.
No, Pa.
You know something? You can't kill me. Nothing can kill me and take my farm and money. Because I'm gonna have it always. Don't be fooled if I stop my breathing, because I'll come back. Come back to this very room. Ain't nobody to touch my money. For I'll come back. You hear that, Elton?
Yes, Pa, I hear.
Never touch the strong box, because it's mine. Money's all mine. I'll never let it go. I'll never let it go. I'll be here in this room with garden and watching it.
Bill, what's up?
Doc better come quick. Call again, Elton.
Sure, I'll call again.
My box! My...
It's right beside you.
The key. The key to my box.
Here, Pa.
Lock it. Lock it tight.
It's locked, Pa. Locked tight.
The key. Put it in my hand. My hand.
Here.
So dark. Can't see.
You've got the key in your hand.
Never take it away. Leave it. Leave key in hand. I'll be back. Be back. It's mine. All mine.
Elton. Ain't no use to get Doc. He's dead. Pa's dead.
I was looking for you, Theo. Where you been?
Down in the parlor.
Doing what?
Fixing Pa up a little bit.
Yeah. You mean you've been touching a dead man in his coffin?
Yes.
How could you do it?
Pa, ain't it?
You should stay away from him. It's catching what he had.
What good now to stay away when I've been caring for him?
There ain't going to be any funeral.
They're going to put Pa's coffin in front of the big parlor window. Then the men are going to cover their faces and come in and carry him to the hearse.
When? What you looking so white about?
Pa. Being in there just now.
Well, why?
Seemed just like he sort of moved when I straightened his tie.
Stop such talk. He's dead in a doornail. Oh, which reminds me. What'd you do with the strong box?
Put it back where it belongs.
And the key, where is it?
I hid it.
And get it for me.
I can't. You heard what the judge from White Bluff said. Ain't nothing to be touched till the probate court has a list of everything.
Did you tell him about the strong box?
No.
And then they ain't going to know nothing about it. Because it's mine, see? I'm the oldest living relative in this family, and the money is mine.
No, Elton. There's expenses to be paid for the funeral, no.
Get me the key.
Oh, no. Let go of my arm.
I want the key, and I want it now.
Stop, Elton. You're hurting me.
Will you get me the key? I'm going to sit in Pa's room and count the money like he always did. I'm master of this house now. Now, you get the key, or I'll really choke you.
Let go. All right. All right.
More like it. Well, go get it now. Maybe if you're a real good sister, I'll give you something out of the box for your trouble.
I don't want none of it.
Well, I do. And after the farm is sold and I get all the money together, I'm getting away from here forever.
You can't sell the farm. I've no place to live. Besides, I got a share coming. We share and share alike.
Oh, is that so? Well, we'll see, Sister Pius. You just act like a lady and we'll see. I'm the man of the house now. If you play the game, I might throw a little something your way. Now, you get me the key to the strong box. At that door. Theo, I'm telling you, get away from the door. Theo?
Mine. Oh, mine.
Who's at that door? It's him. Him standing in the door.
Mine. My money.
You can't walk. You can't. You're dead.
My money.
Theo! Theo, come here! Theo!
Who is?
Pa. He was standing right there in the doorway. I heard him speak.
Oh, Elton, you're shivering like Pa. It's the fever that's coming.
No, it ain't no fever. I tell you, I saw him. Pa stood there in the doorway watching me count the money.
No, Elton. If Pa stood there, I'd have seen him, too. Pa lies downstairs in his coffin. Pa's dead.
See, I tell you, I saw him as plain as I see you.
Oh, come on, Elton. You can get to your bed. You're tucked down just like Pa was.
No. Look, you said yourself this morning that Pa moved in his coffin.
I only thought it happened. Lots of times it seems like dead folks are alive when you look at it. Come on, Elton. Get to your room, let me cover you up good. You're trembling.
I gotta be sure he's dead and in his coffin.
He is, Elton. He is.
Well, you gotta go down to the parlor with me and make certain.
You got to listen to me, Elton. I'm afraid we're both choked just like Pa. I can feel the chills, too.
We gotta be sure. We've gotta go down and look at him, Theo.
All right, Elton. We'll go down. We'll make sure he's dead.
Is it true that old man Dominic really walked the house in search of his money? Can it be that he's not really dying? What will the two discover when they go to the parlor and look at the dead man? The hermit will tell you before the night is done.
When the children in the Olga Cole communities of West Virginia return to their schools this fall, they resume the study of history. We, too, like those children in West Virginia, should resume our study of history. How much of what we once knew have we forgotten? Have we forgotten the words of the famous Virginian Patrick Henry? I have but one lamp by which my feet are guided, and that is the lamp of experience. I know of no way of judging of the future but by the past. One of the things we can learn from the history of the past is that many men who have been entrusted with public power have abused it. Free men always try, therefore, to prevent their government officials from becoming tyrants. The people in the United States tried to prevent the officials of the federal government from engaging in tyrannical acts by writing into the Constitution of the United States definite limitations on the powers of the government itself. The people knew, for example, that in the past, when governmental power passed into the hands of a tyrant, he would spy upon the people, invade the privacy of their homes or offices, pry into their personal papers and effects, seize their property, and imprison them without just cause. To guard against such tyrannical acts, and to protect their personal freedom, the people in the United States provided in their Constitution that the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. The men and women in the Republic of the United States and the Dominion of Canada, where that good Olga Cole is sold, will retain the personal freedom they rightfully possess only so long as they are ready and willing to defend it against any influence which would curb or do away with it. And now, back to the Hermit.
It is a few minutes later. Elton and Theo creep down the stairs of the house, slowly and with fear. Elton is shaking, not only from fear, but with a fever that grips him. And Theo's eyes are bright, the cheeks flush. He, too, on the verge of the malady that has attacked them all. Now they have reached the foot of the stairs. They stand for a moment, hesitant as they reach the parlor door. Listen.
Open the door.
You can see something. The door is closed just as I left. He didn't come through this door.
He opened the door to his bedroom, didn't he? Didn't I hear and see him standing there? Come on.
The candles are burning just like I left them. And he's lying there. I can see from here.
We gotta make sure. Go on. Move closer.
I can see him from here.
Gotta make sure.
All right, Elton. Now look. Look about him. You can see now. He's dead. He couldn't have moved.
Yeah. Sure.
It's just the fever made you think you're sorry.
Can't move from here. Can't come after the money.
No, Elton.
I'm going upstairs and get the strong box and take it away from here. I'm getting out tonight.
No, Elton. Not before services in the morning. You can't do that.
I'm getting out tonight. What's wrong? What is it? Stop trembling and tell me.
Look at him. Can you see?
What?
His hand. I thought it moved.
Oh, stop it. You can't scare me now. I'm going after the money.
It did move. It moved again just now when you said something about the money.
Good heavens. He ain't dead. He ain't dead at all. I told you I saw him in the room after the money. I'm going after it, and I'm going to take it away where you'll never find it. I'm going to get it now.
Elton, come back. Elton, you can't leave me alone in the house with him. Elton! Oh. His hand moved again. I saw it move. He reached out and touched the candles. Knocked him over. Elton, come back! Come back, quick! He's knocked over the candles. The curtains are all afire. Elton! Elton, the heart is afire! Elton! The heart is on fire!
burned right down to the ground. Not a stick or a stone left.
Never heard such a terrible thing. Man in his coffin burned to a crisp. Did he find the others?
They found Elton in the house, or there was what there was left of him. Beside him there was an open strong box. Folks say it must have been the box the old miser kept his money in.
And the girl Theo, did he find her?
Yep. I found her this morning. But she wasn't in the house.
Where?
She must have run out the house when the fire started. She let it out over the moors.
She's alive then?
No. They found her dead, too. Doc Watford said she must have caught what her pa had. An exposure during the night killed her.
Poor kid. She was the only one in the family good for anything. The old man was a miser. Slaved over all these years and Elton. He was a worthless pup. Well, then, the whole fortune went up in smoke. In one night. Nobody got the use of any of the old man's money. It just like it went to its grave with him.
Yep. And like it is not, he would be glad of it. I never knew anybody to have such a fever for money as he had.
Poor kid. The little Theo. Mighty pretty, too. She never got anything out of life. Not a thing that she ever wished for, I reckon. Doc Watford said they found her lying at the foot of Old Pine Mountain. Funny thing. She just sort of picked out a nice place to fall and die. And her head was right up against an old wild rose bush that was in full bloom. And her face was buried in roses.
For money that killed the soul of his son thought about his death. Only Theo had a wish before she died, to cross the moors in the moonlight while the wind made music, and to have a wreath of roses twined in her hair. Yeah. Turn on your lights. Turn them on.
You have just listened to the 509th story by The Hermit, made possible through the courtesy of the Carter Coal Company, producer of Olga Coal, and your friend, the Olga dealer. This year, with the prices of many things rising, the brand of coal you buy is more important than ever. Coal isn't just coal. There are many different kinds and grades. Olga is one of the better grades, and is one of the smokeless coals. It has a higher heat content than ordinary coal, more heat-producing ingredients, and fewer ingredients which produce smoke. Therefore, it pays you to ask for Olga by name. Olga responds readily to the thermostatic controls now on the market again, which can help keep your home at a more even temperature. And for coal stokers, Olga stoker coal is specially sized and prepared. Because householders know there's no fuel quite like coal, and no coal quite like Olga, deliveries are still a bit behind the unprecedented demand. That is why it will not only pay you to ask for Olga coal by name, but to place your order well in advance with your friend, the Olga dealer. To locate him, look in the classified section of your telephone book under Olga, spelled O-L-G-A. He'll appreciate your cooperation in giving him extra time to make delivery, having your bin all ready, and being at home to accept delivery when it is made. If his delivery to you is delayed, it's because deliveries to him have been late. But remember, Olga is worth waiting for. And so is the money that United States savings bonds or Canadian savings loans will bring you at maturity. That's why it will pay you to keep on buying and keeping them.
And the hermit has more stories for you. Listen in again next week for my hounds howling. I'll tell you the story without end. I'll be back. Pleasant dreams.
Places and occurrences mentioned in the Hermit's Cave are fictitious, and similarity to persons, places, and occurrences is purely accidental. This is Ron Gamble speaking.